I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnneHall.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Federal supremacists are the most dangerous people in America. They have been brainwashed into believing that every federal law, every law created by Congress, is somehow superior to the states. They like to invoke the supremacy clause as justification for their flawed reasoning and their illegal mindset. And this is a really, really, really big deal. And I want to go over this with you in a logical, methodical manner, so we can understand why these federal supremacists are wrong and why our governors not only have a right, but have a duty to stand against any act of the federal government that is contrary to the Constitution. So let's look at this very quickly, because these federal supremacists are going to try to tell you that the Refugee Act, 8 U.S.C. 1157, requires the states to allow the president to confer refugee status on any person he chooses. They're going to quote 8 U.S.C. 1157A- subsection A, subsection 1, that authorizes any president to admit whatever number of refugees he believes, quote, is justified by humanitarian concerns or is otherwise in the national interest, end quote. They're going to tell you that the governors of the states and the state people of the states themselves cannot stand against them. That they have absolutely no say in this whatsoever, and this federal law prohibits them from doing anything. So let's just start at the beginning, because these federal supremacists are going to tell you that the Supremacy Clause dictates to the governors of the states that they cannot defy this federal law. So let's read the Supremacy Clause very quickly, because this is the foundation which we have to set to show their flawed reasoning, their absolute brainwashing, and the fact that they are not only wrong, but their flawed beliefs, their errant views, turn our states into colonies and destroy our constitutional republic. And I am not being apocalyptic, I am not being speaking in hyperbole, and I am not being overly dramatic by saying that the states must submit to every law Congress makes our states subjects to the federal government's every whim and every desire, to the point where they have to petition the government for their own power and their own relief. That is a kingdom, people. When the people and their power must petition the Congress to limit itself, I don't know how anybody of a halfway intelligent mindset considers that a reasonable reflection of a constitutional republic. I cannot wrap my brain around an educated person, a person who has allegedly been trained in the law and in the Constitution. I cannot wrap my brain around a person who would believe that to be the proper interpretation of the proper placement of power in the states and in the federal government and in the people. It completely defies all logic, defies all history, defies all definition of government. And so they're going to tell you that the governors can't stand against this Refugee Act. And I'm going to tell you they are wrong. They are fundamentally, they are historically, they are legally, they are constitutionally wrong, and they are dangerous. Let's look at this Article 6, Clause 2, the Supremacy Clause. This Constitution, I'm hoping that you will pause this. If you are not listening to this live, I hope that you will pause this. If you are listening to this live, I hope that you will go to my website and listen to it again and pause this. Get out your pocket Constitution and read along with me Article 6, Clause 2, because the grammar matters. This Constitution, and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof, semicolon. Now the language here is about treaties. We're not talking about treaties. We're talking about laws, acts made by Congress. So we're going to skip over the treaty part and go to the part where it says, shall be the supreme law of the land. This Constitution, and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof shall be the supreme law of the land. Do you see that? There are two independent clauses in that. This Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land, and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof shall be the supreme law of the land. Do you see the difference now between the laws that are made by Congress and the Constitution itself? The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, period. Nothing else has to happen. It is the supreme law of the land. And the laws made by Congress are only the supreme law of the land when they are made in pursuance to the Constitution, which means if the laws made by Congress are not made in pursuance to the Constitution, they are not the supreme law of the land. And Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Paper 78 explains they are no law at all. He says, no law contrary to the Constitution can be valid. Now he gives us the very explanation on why laws that are contrary to the Constitution cannot be valid. You see, our framers are very clear about what they wrote, and they write in such a style that they quite often give us a principle and then explain to us the consequences of that principle. He says, no legislative act contrary to the Constitution can be valid. To deny this would be to affirm. He's saying if you allow laws created by Congress that are contrary to the Constitution to be valid, you will create a situation where the deputy is greater than his principal, the servant is above his master, and the representatives of the people are superior to the people themselves. Do you see those analogies? When we allow Congress to make laws that are contrary to the Constitution and we submit to those laws as if they are valid laws, then we are making ourselves servant to our servants. We are making ourselves inferior to the government that we are supposed to be superior to. And we will make find ourselves in a situation where the representatives of the people are superior to the people themselves. Do you now know why your congressman treats you like a privileged person to be in his presence? Do you see why that happens now? Because we have allowed them to create laws contrary to the Constitution for so long, they feel themselves superior. Continuing with the Supremacy Clause, it says, and the judges of every state shall be bound thereby, and anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. You see, the judges in every state and the laws of the state are not in submission to every single federal law. They are only in submission to federal laws that are consistent with the Constitution. And this Federal Refugee Act is inconsistent with the Constitution. It asserts a power that the federal government has not been delegated. And not only that, even if this power of refugee status was delegated to the federal government, it was a power that was delegated to the Congress. It was not, okay? I'm going to show you why refugee is not delegated to the Congress. But even if it was, under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4, any power of naturalization is delegated to Congress, not the executive branch. In 8 U.S.C. 1157, this Refugee Act abdicates a power to the executive branch that was never even delegated to the legislative branch. And so I am just so sick. I know we have talked about this before, but I am still getting questions from people on Facebook. I am still getting questions from people on Twitter. And our conservative news outlets are still disseminating this garbage, this dangerous, treasonous, destructive of our constitutional republic garbage, that our states must submit to any law created by the federal government. Breitbart, Ken Klukowski, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So what's got my blood pressure up? What has got my blood pressure up? Breitbart. Breitbart has my blood pressure up. Breitbart's Ken Klukowski, who is touted on Breitbart as being its legal editor, is disseminating this dangerous perspective, this destructive to our constitutional republic perspective, to the conservatives. We finally have 29 governors who are refusing to allow these refugees into their states, defying unconstitutional federal law. And what do we have? We have allegedly conservative news outlets telling these governors that they are wrong, that they are not governors of states, they're merely governors of colonies, and they must submit to every single law that the federal government makes. How stupid could that be? Our framers were not that ignorant. And if we don't wake up and catch a snap, if we don't wake up and realize and understand what our Constitution really says and the role and the duty of our states, we are nothing but subjects and slaves to a federal government. And I find it particularly repulsive that these conservative news outlets would be promulgating these lies. I should find it offensive to liberty, and we should all find it offensive to liberty, although I am finding it more and more less shocking and less surprising. Because you see, media is run by politics. And I don't care who you are anymore. Andrew Breitbart would be absolutely disgusted by what's become of his website. I absolutely believe that. Run by politics instead of truth and journalism. And since politics is driving the media today and not truth, then we shouldn't be surprised or shocked. We should be repulsed. We should be offended in the spirit of our liberty, but we should not be surprised. Because you see, politics does not want the federal government to be limited. If you allow to teach the truth that federal government is limited by these states and that the governors are absolutely correct in standing against this unconstitutional act, then politics loses power, don't they? And when politics loses power, then maybe the media loses power too, since the media is run by politics. Let's look at this, because we've already established by Article 6, Clause 2, that no law contrary to the Constitution can be valid. So let's look at this law that Congress created that says the president has the authority to admit whatever number of refugees he believes is justified by humanitarian concerns or is otherwise in national interest. Without a check and balance on Congress, an arbitrary power placed in the hands of the president, don't you think that Barack Obama doesn't know this law? Don't you think that he is relying on this unconstitutional act to back what he's doing and the fact that he knows that our courts and our politics have been brainwashed for generations into this dangerous and destructive mentality of federal supremacy? Don't you think he realizes this? Don't you think he's relying on this? He is relying on the governors standing against this and the courts overturning them so that we can be once again ruled by an oligarchy where the courts can increase the power of the federal government and the people and the states are nothing but slaves. See, this is the fundamental transformation of America that has taken place through our higher education systems, brainwashing us into believing that we cannot question government and that government is not limited by any way or any shape or any form but its own will. And I am angry. I am righteously angry that Ken Kukowski would even assert that the governors of the states have no authority to stand against this act and that they must petition Congress to stop themselves. We're being enslaved by our own ignorance and by these federal supremacists who wrap themselves in flags and call themselves patriots and drive us into the very chains and bonds that government wants to set.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So Article 6, Clause 2 establishes very clearly that no law contrary to the Constitution can be valid. And 8 U.S.C. says the president has the authority to confer refugee status on any person he feels is justified without any check and balance. So let's look at at the Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 of the Constitution, the only section of the Constitution that mentions any modicum of power that is delegated to the federal government regarding immigration. And that's to establish a uniform rule of naturalization. That's it. Congress has been delegated the power to establish a uniform rule of naturalization. That is not refugee status. Naturalization is not refugee status. Go look that up in the dictionary. Naturalization, the act of investing an alien with the rights and privileges of a native subject or citizens. Are we to suppose now that these refugees have been invested with the same rights and privileges as citizens, that we have actually made them citizens of the United States? Because that's the only power that has been delegated to Congress. As a matter of fact, if you look up in Noah Webster's dictionary, Noah Webster, one of the founders of America, wrote his own dictionary. He says, in the United States, naturalization is by act of Congress, not an act by the president. This is not a power that has been delegated to the president. This is a power that has been delegated to the Congress alone. And separation of powers dictates that the Congress cannot abdicate that power to the executive branch. They cannot. Montesquieu said that when power is consolidated in one branch or in one person, liberty cannot survive. Separation of powers is essential. But not only that, we established a particular separation of powers in America. A separation of powers that says the branches of government cannot share power. They cannot steal power. And there is a check and balance in place. This 8 U.S.C. 1157 eliminates the check and balance. It allows Congress to delegate a power that they don't have to the executive branch, which they don't have the power to do, and that eliminates the check and the balance. This is not only a complete destruction of Article 6, Clause 2. It is a violation of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4. And a total violation of separation of powers. And yet, the legal editor of Breitbart's, Ken Klukowski, declares that this law is binding on the states and the governors, and they can't stand against it. I want to show you something else historically, because you see, there was huge debate in our framers about this creation of the executive branch. Their biggest concern was that we would create an executive branch that would evolve into a king, that there would be not enough limits on the executive branch, and through time and through reinterpretation, as James Madison would call it, forced construction of the Constitution, our president would become king. And I want to read something to you that Alexander Hamilton wrote in Federalist Papers 69. Now, in Federalist Papers 69, Alexander Hamilton is trying to show why the president power is completely different from the power of the king. He starts off by saying the president is to be commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States. In this respect, his authority would be nominally the same with that of the King of Great Britain, but in substance much inferior to it. He said it would amount to nothing more than the supreme command and direction of the military and naval forces as first general and admiral of the Confederacy, while that of a British king extends to the declaring of war and the raising and regulating of fleets of army, all which, by the Constitution under consideration, would appertain to the legislature. So we are not creating a king because the president is limited in his power by the legislature. Now, he goes on and makes a number of distinctions, but this one distinction that is really relevant to this refugee status and proving that the president does not have this power, he says, The president can confer no privileges whatsoever. The king, however, can make denizens of aliens and noblemen of commoners. The president can confer no privileges whatever, and the king can make denizens of aliens. What is a denizen? Well, let's look to Justice Blackstone, who is the jurist, the judge that our framers relied on in understanding British common law as they applied it to creating our new constitution. A denizen is an alien born, but who has obtained ex donatione regis. You see, a denizen is an alien born who has obtained the letter of permission from the king to make him an English subject. Do you see that? The president is not a king because he does not have the authority to issue letters creating aliens with the rights and privileges of citizens. That is why this refugee status is completely unconstitutional. That is why 8 U.S.C. 1157 is completely unconstitutional, because it is a violation of separation of powers. It is a power not delegated to Congress, and it's a power that is certainly not supposed to be used by the executive branch, because if we allow the president to confer privileged status on aliens, I want you to see this. We are giving him the power of a king. Something that our framers worked very, very hard to convince us could never happen, because Congress would never let it happen. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 says to establish a uniform rule of naturalization. Naturalization is the uniform rule to becoming a citizen of the United States, creating the pathways to citizenship, if you want to use a modern vernacular. That's the only power Congress has to create the rules of naturalization. The 10th Amendment says the powers not delegated to the federal government are reserved to the states. The federal government does not have the power to confer a refugee status. They only have the power to create a rule of naturalization to become a citizen. Refugee status does not make someone a citizen. And they don't have the power to do that. The power to enforce the rules of naturalization is something that is reserved to the states, because it has not been delegated to the federal government to enforce the rules of naturalization, only to establish them. So let's just review here very quickly. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 delegates power to the Congress alone, to establish a uniform rule of naturalization, period. Article 6, Section 2 says that any law contrary to the Constitution is not a law at all, because you cannot have a law contrary to the Constitution and still have the Constitution be the supreme law of the land. We also know that the president cannot steal power from Congress, and Congress cannot delegate power to the federal government, especially power they don't have, because of separation of powers. See, Congress doesn't even have the power for refugee status, so they certainly can't even delegate it to the executive branch. And a clear distinction was made between a king and a president, that a president cannot confer privileges upon an alien, because if a president can confer privileges on an alien without any check or balance, without any rule from Congress on naturalization, then guess what? You don't have a president anymore. You have a king. And Americans ought to be angry about this. My goodness. In 1776, we declared war against kings. And now we have people who consider themselves to be educated in the law and conservatives at the same time who are begging us to submit to another king. How does that make any sense at all? Why aren't we outraged by this? And if we as conservatives buy this line of garbage and we believe ourselves to be slaves in this manner, then perhaps there is no hope for America. When we have people like Ken Klukowski and medias who hold themselves up to be conservative like Breitbart, desecrating the name of Andrew Breitbart in this matter, we ought to be angry about that. We ought to question that. And we ought to stand in opposition to that. We need to stand behind these governors now more than ever. Now that they are, listen to this, they are being attacked for standing for your liberty, standing for your rights, and standing in defense of the Constitution. They are being attacked by both sides, liberal and conservative. And you cannot let this happen. I am angry. I am righteously angry. And as Americans, you ought to be angry too. You gotta stand against these lies.
My right to tote the weapon of my choice. Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
I want Americans to understand just how dangerous this is. And can I show you, from the words of Alexander Hamilton, just how dangerous this mentality is? He says in Federalist Papers 78, no legislative act, therefore contrary to the Constitution, can be valid. To deny this would be to affirm that the deputy is greater than his principal, that the servant is above his master, that the representatives of the people are superior to the people themselves. Listen, he says, that men acting by virtue of powers may do not only what their powers do not authorize, but what they forbid. Do you know what this mentality establishes? That no right, that no liberty is sacred. That all Congress has to do, by majority vote, in collusion with a president who wants power, is pass a law to strip you of your rights and of your liberties. And this Federalist mentality says you have no recourse. Do you know what that makes us? Do you know how dangerous that is? That makes us a kingdom and not a constitutional republic. That means we have no peaceful means but to lay ourselves prostrate at the federal government and beg them for their mercy and their leniency and their privilege. That is not a constitutional republic, and that is a kingdom. JFK said, anybody who would prevent peaceful revolution is only ensuring a violent one. Ken Klukowski is ensuring a violent revolution. Breitbart, by printing these lies and disseminating this information, is ensuring a violent revolution. And you know what? I have just made probably a third of my listeners angry because I am picking on Breitbart. I might lose likes on Facebook now I might lose followers on Twitter. But when the truth becomes demonized, then I will stand for the truth regardless of the consequences. Because it's not about me. And it ought not be about you. And it ought not be about your favorite personality. It ought to be about truth. Because you see, our children are relying on us to overturn these lies. And I just look at this article and I get angry. I get angry because this creates a mentality of servitude that we have no other choice but petitioning the government for their mercy. We have to beg Congress to pass another law to limit themselves or to repeal a law in which they have delegated to themselves a power they don't have? How does that make any sense to you? Can that make any sense to you? Oh, well, we can sue the federal government in federal court in front of federal judges who have been appointed by federal government. I will not accept this level of slavery. I will not. And it makes me angry. And if my anger offends you, and if my stand for liberty offends you, then maybe you need to be offended. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. And that's why I say liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Because we cannot become infiltrated by these lies. We cannot be convinced that we are slaves and subjects to a federal kingdom. We cannot buy this. Because if we believe this in our minds, then they don't even need the chains. They don't even need the shackles. They don't need the cattle cars. And they don't need the internment camps. Because we are enslaving ourselves in our ignorance. And it's about time we get educated and stand. This is our opportunity. We have some momentum. We have some governors who are willing to defy the federal government in this. And if we can encourage them, maybe it will catch on. And maybe they will begin defying the federal government and all their other unconstitutional acts. The first step to liberation is resistance. And we must encourage it now. Now, while they have the momentum. God bless. See you tomorrow.